you have another opportunity to revise or approve. So with that, yes?
I will make a comment on that, just so everybody, I mean, I think if you have an issue with something, you have to bring it up at the first pass, because a lot of times the people don't come back later. So if you have an issue, they should hear it up front. So, I mean, don't wait until later it gets before the board or we're going to vote on it, and then all of a sudden we bring up an issue and then nobody's here to defend it. So that's my comment on that issue.
Well, that's not required. You can, I mean, that's your advice, but it still is possible.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
Yes, okay. All right, any other discussion?
Well, that would be nice, except you know damn well it's going to happen on the floor, because some of them aren't going to come to the meeting. These meetings are going to grandstand up there. I'll just say that. If anybody doesn't like it, that's too bad, because that's what's going to happen. Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And we will proceed with the county executive's budget, and that can be found at 343.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of Finance Committee, Youth and Governance members. County Executive's budget before you tonight is a less than a 1% increase, $3,917. The staffing has increased a quarter, 25% of one position. We have myself, two and three quarters people, and quite frankly, it's staff efficiency. If someone wants to talk to my office manager, there's only 4 hours available. We're currently using her out of personnel and call someone up periodically because there is vacation. It's just not efficient to get a hold of her. And so that is an increase in personnel of 0.25 in my budget. But the overall increase is still under 1%. It's pretty much the same on this budget as we move through. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to address any of them.
All right, is there a discussion?
Move to approve.
There's a motion by Supervisor.
Second.
Yes, second by Supervisor Bruning. Further discussion?
Yeah, question.
Yes, Ron?
I noticed there was a article in the paper about something about the Civic Parade, and that's all.
They've done a great job at getting sponsors and fundraisers, and if you look on your website as of today, you can even see that it's called the Walmart Kenosha Civics Parade. Not Walmart, Walgreens.
Walgreens.
Civics Parade. So that's the only listing on there, although we did send our check in this year. But it's still listed as a Walgreens
Parade. Oh, yeah, paid them for this.
And this, in 15, there's nothing.
There's nothing in there.
Yeah.
But what about that 1,000? He says he doesn't want it.
Then it's in the budget. Reduced my budget by 1,000.
So do you have to call him up and say, do you want it or don't you, or what?
No. I didn't respond.
All right, further discussion on the county executive's budget? Yeah. Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Approved.
Thank you very much.
And then the third is the CABA, Todd. And that budget can be found at 275. All right, go ahead.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Tom.
Know almost everyone here. Todd Battle with the Kenosha Area Business Alliance. As many of you know, we are a public-private economic development organization. We have a service contract with the county, and each year we perform a number of economic development services on behalf of the county. It's been a long-standing relationship to the mutual benefit of our organization, the county, and generally to the community's economic development. The county's annual investment in our operations has been $125,000, and is proposed as that again this year. Essentially, that is the county's contribution to then what leverages about a $1.2, $1.3 million economic development organization. We perform a number of services in terms of business retention, expansion with existing companies. We manage a myriad of revolving loan fund programs. We now administer a high impact fund program, which the county has also invested in the past and is proposing to do again here also. And we aggressively market the community and look for opportunities to bring new and expanding businesses into the community, hopefully with the idea of sustaining and growing our tax base and creating new job opportunities that raise the standard of living in the community. So that's kind of the role we play. We've had a very good working relationship with this board, its committees, the county executive and his administration, and various other departments within the county that touch economic development. You know, we're happy to serve as your economic development organization. We think we do a good job representing the community. There's been a lot going on in the community in the last few years in terms of economic development, and we feel pretty optimistic about the position the community's in to kind of keep our foot on the accelerator and do more with respect to economic development. So we greatly appreciate your past support and funding of our organization and some of its programs, and would be happy to answer any questions or cover any additional items, but thank you for your past support, and I'm here to answer any questions you might have about our organization and its activities. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff?
Where are we as far as how much money we have available in that high impact fund right now?
Yeah, so the high impact fund was originally funded with $1 million. There was a subsequent allocation of $500,000. The original million was in 2011. There was a subsequent allocation of $500,000. What's proposed here is a total of $1.5 million. The previous $1.5 million has been committed and allocated. That has funded projects like Bradshaw Medical, Hanna Cylinders, and Kenall Manufacturing. We have two pending commitments with respect to Niagara Bottling and Incinerator. And if all of those projects came to fruition and were funded, we would have approximately $525,000 remaining available uncommitted in the high impact fund.
Okay, did we not, go ahead, Al.
We did not fund anything for 2015, but we are gonna do an initial resolution for $2 million, so we can do the same thing we did last year. If CABA does have some commitments they have to make, we can then in fact borrow that money. If it happens after we go out to market, we would borrow it and then reimburse ourselves the next year. But it's very similar to what we did last year when we only committed $500,000 and then we ended up going out and borrowing the whole $2 million.
Right. We did $1.5 million mid-year.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
But this year we're putting nothing in the budget. We'll do an initial resolution when Mike Harrigan comes in from Ehlers on the final day of the budget. We'll just do the initial resolution. And then we'll have budget resolution that allows the executive to appropriate some of those monies if the economic development occurs.
I just want to make sure that we have that money available, because you never know when something's going to come down the pike that we really need to move on, and to find it later after the fact might be a little bit hard. So it's good to plan for that. So I appreciate your planning ahead and working on those projects. And I also want to congratulate you and your group for the job that you do. I think Kenosha County is at the head of the whole state in economic development, and I think it is because partly with your hard work and your organization too. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Further discussion? None. Is there a motion
move to approve?
All right. Supervisor Ginn, second by Supervisor Frederick. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 I move right along to the extension.
Thank you. 367.
Excellent. There's a judge in the house. We better be careful.
You got to be charged first.
A friendly one.
You have to have done something first. And you have to be charged.
Mm-hmm. All right. The extension budget is on 367.
370.
Yeah, it starts on well.
Teddy, glad you go ahead.
The big budget.
Chairman and members of the board, and our two youth and governance members.
The budget, as you see, presented for 2015 is pretty much in line with 2014. Very little differences. Our, as you look on page 371, you'll see our business unit 67100. This is all of our levy. Our one county employee is in the top section. And then all the other remaining expenses are almost exactly as 2014, with the exception of other professional services. That is the account that pays for the 60% of the county's contribution to our university salaries and benefits for our educators. And then the following business units are 67200 is where all of our grants and program revenue accounts are. So we're estimating right now about 53,000 for those, and then any carryover would be added at the end of the year. All other remaining accounts are the same. I'll just point out that our project for the after-school project, that $11,000 is funding from Kenosha Unified School District for after-school. And that's remaining the same as previous years.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right, there's a motion to approve. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Teddy, thank you. And
very much.
The next item is the Corporation
thank
Council
you for all your
at
work.
Thank you, Chair.
349 Brie Bosch.
I know.
It should be done by 6.
Cut his budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For those who haven't worked with us, we're the lawyers for the county. There's four lawyers and three clerical positions. Most of our budget deals with salaries and then education of the folks there and folks to figure out answers when we're asked questions. The salaries this year are projected to be going down. Reason for that is we had a senior administrative clerical who retired, and was replaced by a young person, and she's very good, but she's not gained the kind of salary that the retired one got. So that's basically the reason that we're a little bit lower than last year's budget. Most of our accounts have stayed the same. Most of the line items are at the identical amount for last year. There's a slight increase in books and a slight increase in subscriptions, just the way like this.
All right, thank you. Is that complete?
Yes.
Right. Any discussion from the committee, Jeff?
Yes, I have a question. Are we still paying any lawyers from outside as consultants? Is that built in here?
We have a line item for outside counsel when necessary, $40,000. And usually when it's necessary, it's more than $40,000. So what we do is, if we don't use it, and we haven't used a lot this year either, some of it, 25 or all of it?
No, all of it.
All of it's rolled over to the future when it might be needed. So this year it'll be $40,000, but there's some on the books somewhere that could be drawn or transferred back in here from past years when we didn't use it. Maybe the consulting law firm you're thinking about is the Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm,
one.
That's exactly
right. Yeah, we turned the faucet off on them a couple of years ago when I became corporation counsel.
Turn the faucet off.
Well, there's, we didn't fire them. They said, well, we're not going to disengage, but we're not going to bill you anymore. And I said, that's fine with me.
Okay, then a follow-up to that would be, where is that money then?
It's in there. If you look at the line,
it's 112.
No, I know the 40,000 is.
I understand it, but in the same line, if you look at the modified and carried over, that's the amount that was 112. That's what's in there. That's what was on.
Okay.
That's what was. I think we had 40,000 the year before, and then the amount carried over is on top of that.
Okay, I'll move to approve.
Second.
The motion to approve. Is there discussion further? Mm-hmm. All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, Bernie, thank you.
Thank you.
And skates. Is the representative of the DA's office? I know we're moving rather quickly here, but there's no point holding to a schedule.
Keep an intake, I'll go if you're ready.
We will do that if nobody in a hall from DA's office, huh? Perhaps somebody, and we will do the circuit court, and we do will do juvenile intake. Mary, where's Mary?
Right here.
Oh, there you are. Oh,
Mary's
sorry.
Here. Yeah.
Mary.
Double. You get two Marys.
Yes, two Marys. Maybe somebody could call Joint Services, Sheriff, and DA.
Here, I'll sit next to her.
So there, we're not waiting. We're not required by law to stick to the time schedule if we have the item agenda. So we will go to the juvenile intake in place as well as circuit court. As follows. So your first, Mary Byer, you're first on the docket.
Right, and circuit.
That is at 59.
Juvenile intake is 67.
67.
67.
Ms. Reed, 67.
I do have some handouts. I don't know that I have enough. So we'll just maybe.
We can share.
Keep.
Is somebody calling?
Yeah.
Oh, you are.
Anyone.
I think, yeah.
Good evening, members of the Finance Committee and the other supervisors present and union government. I am pleased to be here to present my recommendations for the 2015 line item budget. We are requesting a $746,000 tax levy, which is a decrease of $61,000 from 2014. Excuse me. I have distributed to each of you a breakdown of the minimal changes I am proposing for the next year's budget. As you can see, there's minimal changes. The far right column gives you an explanation of the reason for those changes. The biggest change to my budget is an increase in revenue of approximately $54,000 for next year. We've had a grant within my department since 1988, and we are going to be getting that revenue back next year. We look forward to it. It's going to allow us to screen juveniles that are already on our caseload for mental health and substance abuse issues, and then refer them for the necessary treatment. If you have any other questions, I'd be happy to try and help you with those, but overall, I'm requesting a $61,000 decrease in levy.
All right, thank you. A discussion?
We'll go for it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there further discussion? Further discussion? Contract price is still the same with the detention?
We do not have a contract. We act on a memorandum of understanding. It's currently $115 per day per bed, and we're using Washington County Juvenile Detention. When we left Racine 5 years ago, we were paying over $130 a day per bed, and we were paying for 18 beds.
So is the $115 the same as last year?
Yes.
Further discussion?
How many beds are we using per day? Do you know?
We're using, on average, about 6 beds a day. Today we have, I think, 8 juveniles.
Is that because all the kids are behaving now, or are we just kidding?
No, it's because school started. Maybe they're not behaving as well.
All right, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, thank you.
Thank you. I texted the clerk of courts to come with the court's budget.
So. Oh, okay. You're not presenting it.
I'm not presenting it. Bethany and Becky, I'm here to help present it.
I see. Okay.
But
well,
I'll wait for them because they got the book with the numbers.
It does not appear that we have anyone else present.
I just texted.
Hang on. Anybody wants to back?
So why don't we just stand in
gentlemen,
adjournment?
You're until zero.
I have one vote.
And we're cruising through this tonight.
I know.
We have one.
It usually goes.
I prematurely took a recess. Al does have something he wants to say about
anyway.
The packet on your desk.
What? I just want to inform you, and I wanted to start the meeting, but I was looking around with the recorder here. But on your desk is the meetings from the committees that have already approved their budget, the oversight committees. And also we received some questions and budget inquiries from Supervisor Skolinski and Supervisor Kohlmeyer. And the questions and the responses to those questions are on the back here, on the back of that packet. So I just want to let everybody know what was on the desk. And if if we have any questions. We typically take that whole packet during the budget hearings and place them all on the supervisor's desks as far as the questions that we got inquiries on. So those will be on their desks on November 5th. Just the questions, not the minutes.
You said Supervisor Colmar had a question?
He had a group of questions which are responded to in that packet.
The last
page. I think he had 17 or 18 questions.
All right, we'll just stand in recess until the next speaker comes, and then we'll proceed. All right, Tom, we want to proceed with this agenda, so let us begin again with the joint services.
Oh, we're going to ream him good.
I can explain that more to you if you like.
You find joint services at page 75.
You're on the joint services. All right, you.
Have they others been...
That's quiet.
Still no words?
What about going over there to the office?
Yeah, they're there.
Call 911.
Yeah. Let's see if they're there. Yes, well, let's begin with joint services.
You want to go to jail?
We have a little land.
And that you'll find at page 75. Go ahead.
Good evening. I'm Tom Gethner, Commissioner of Joint Services. With me, I have Josh Nielsen. He's the manager of communications. Ron Beeney, she's the manager of records. Lori Fafso, she is the finance assistant, and Deb Sabatic, who is the personnel assistant. On September 9th, the Kenosha Joint Services Board approved the 2015 budget. It's approximately $9.2 million. That is approximately $105,000 above the 2014 budget. it is a 1.8% increase to the tax levy and a 1.4 increase to expenditures. As with any, I'm going to summarize each of the major departments if you'd like. If you have any questions, please, you can stop and ask me. Okay. As with any budget, personnel services is the largest portion. 69% of our budget goes to personnel services. That's approximately $6.3 million. That is a $9,200 decrease over last year. The most significant aspects of it, we're looking at a 2% wage increase. Insurance, the board has set a cap of $1.4 million. That is a $170,000 decrease from last year. We don't have a structure of that insurance plan at this point. We are still working with our consultant and hoping to get that rather soon. And we are not increasing any personnel next year. We are transitioning from one employee who is currently part-time to full-time. The fiscal note on that is $13,000. Contractual services are approximately 18% of the budget. That's $1.6 million. We are looking at a $30,000 for consultant to purchase the 911 infrastructure and $25,000 for an evidence audit. Supplies and materials are approximately 12% of the budget. That's $1.1 million, a $2,000 increase. The biggest aspect of that is fuel and goods sold to the Kenosha Sheriff's Department and Police Department. That's approximately 84% of that $1.1 million. And capital assets are approximately 1%. That's $108,000, $38,000 increase over 2014. That is for IT, mainly servers and storage space. We're continuing with the purchase of the public safety software. That was originally estimated to be $3 million. We're continuing with that process. And we're also looking to replace our 911 infrastructure. That's estimated to be $900,000. I'd be happy to answer any questions that summarizes the budget. Or if you'd like to hear about the software update, I can provide that for you as well.
All right, discussion. Yes, Aaron.
It's hard to see because of the detail. We just have basically one line. It's about $100,000 increase in levies at IT costs, roughly. Is that the main driver, or you said the partial raise, or just curious?
Some of the main drivers probably is more in the area of contractual services. That's about a $73,000 increase. And some of that is the 911 infrastructure. We need a consultant to assist us. We need to replace that. That's all the phone lines that come into the safety building and drive the whole 911 system. We're looking to replace that. We need to supply maintenance for that next year as well, which is $20,000. It is out of warranty. It's antiquated. We need to replace that. And so we're updating the maintenance on that, and as well as the $25,000 for an evidence audit. That's to go through and look at our evidence room and ensure that our procedures are appropriate. That hasn't been done in many years, and it's about $25,000 to do that. Those are probably the main drivers in that.
Okay. Further discussion, Ron?
What's the percentage breakdown between the city and the county?
I was going to ask that.
I remember.
Yeah.
54.4. And whatever it is, 46.6 is there? Is it there? 43.6.
We're 46, huh?
We're 54.4.
I was gonna say really? 54.
That's based on the new IGA and the new formula that takes into that had a study that did the utilization that DMG did, and then the equalized value is another component of that formula.
Further discussion.
I always think about back when this joint service thing happened years ago. I don't suspect it would ever happen anywhere again, but it was a good move that we made. But it was when cooperation between the city and county was at an all-time high under former Mayor Bilotti, I think it was. If I remember right, that's a few years ago.
Yeah.
I was there.
You were there too, eh? Yeah, it was a good
motion approved.
Thing we did. It worked second. Out well.
There we go. All right, there's a motion to approve here. Is the number of positions still the same, 80?
That's correct, there are 80.
Last year was 80. And
80 as well.
Same. All right. Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to, for those, again, who may have attended, just stopped in. We'll give final approval to everything that's anticipated next week on Tuesday, so. These are tentative approval.
I see that every okay. year.
Thank you.
To remind
all right, thank you. And Bob?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Why don't you go ahead? I know we're way ahead of schedule, but
right.
Some of these go very rapidly. So
hey, Bob.
It's not that you're late, but we did make some phone calls to keep the process moving along here. As some of them are rather routine, are not large budgets. So. Anyway, the district attorney's budget is at 51.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Office Manager Laura is handing out to you a quick sheet with regards to the highlights of our budget presentation this evening. I'll give you a second to take a look at that. We have it broken down in our expenses and our revenues, and then we attach that an organizational chart. No new positions have been requested, but they were not granted, and so there are no budget positions that are being added into this budget for next year. With regards to the expenses, the most significant, and I'll yield to Laura to be more specific, is for those of you that may not be aware, the district attorney has a bifurcated budget. The state picks up all of the ADA and the DA salaries, so we're state employees. And the bricks and mortar and all the clerical are county employees. So we have that in that relationship. So what you're seeing here is just with the county's impact, there's another piece that the state has to deal with. If you're not interested in that, that's okay. But for last year, we had a request for a contracted professional service for an office investigator. During this last year, we were able to get that folded into, we weren't able to fill that position with a contract position, came back to the county and that we would put that position as a full-time position. So what's being reflected on the expenses is the $40,000 that was earmarked for that contract position. And then for this 2015 the budget is requesting an increase for that particular salary position that was approved previously. So the county exec has agreed or recommended that we continue that position as a full-time investigator position. With regards to the other expenses, I will yield to Laura to go over them quickly with you.
Nothing too exciting here. Books and manuals, we're able to reduce that and cancel some subscriptions. As I'm sure you're aware, all the equipment lease is moving to the IT's budget, and we were able to The salaries for victim witness went down due to some higher paying employees retiring and leaving. So that explains kind of the difference there. As far as revenues go, we are down with county ordinances, slightly with the motor traffic fines, and our victim witness revenue is expected to be around 54% next year. So hopefully that will stay steady and rise. I don't know if Bob wants to explain the sundry revenue line item there.
Yeah, before I do that, with regards to the decline in county ordinances, there's a formula that has been agreed upon between the Sheriff's Department, the Clerk of Circuit Court, and the District Attorney's Office that any revenues that are generated as a result of those arrests and prosecutions would be divided up. So we're somewhat dependent on the law enforcement agency making those arrests. And sometimes with regards to traffic enforcement, if the traffic arrests are down or ordinances are down or county ordinances are down, that will reflect in terms of our budget. So we're kind of inextricably intertwined with the Sheriff's Department and the Clerk of Circuit Court with regards to any revenues generated from those arrests and prosecutions. With regards to the sundry revenue, that was a spinoff of what we were hoping that we would generate from our contract position. We estimated that if we were to assess a surcharge for our worthless check diversionary program, the state law does give us an opportunity to do that for the last number of years since we've had our worthless check diversionary program. We have not required a surcharge to be assessed to any of those people who are being deferred. Obviously, worthless checks would imply that people don't have the money. In some respects, there are bad check writers that do it for a living, but most of the people might write a bad check, and then to assess them a service fee to be able to be eligible to the program might arguably be counterproductive. So we haven't assessed that fee, but last year when we came in with the contract position, if the county was to have agreed and that we were going to start that position, we were going to assess a small service charge for them to be eligible for that program. It didn't materialize. We weren't able to fill that contract position. And so that revenue, that small amount of revenue, was as a result of not being able to go in the direction I thought we might be able to go. And that's why we're projecting. We're still having our office investigator manage this worthless check program, but we're not assessing a service fee for their eligibility into that program. So that's the essence of the sundry revenue, was that projection. Anybody else? Anybody have any questions?
Yes. I do see the drop of $40,000 that we did approve. How much will the new person that's just going to become the employee, what's the cost of that?
His salary was commensurate with the same salary he was being paid as a victim witness advocate. So basically it was a transfer in our budget from his position as a victim witness advocate over to the position of office investigator. So I don't know exactly what classification was as a victim witness. I don't know if
I don't remember the exact cost of the position. Well, we brought a separate resolution to the county board to approve that as a county position as opposed to a contracted position. And if you want me to get the cost of it. But as I recall, it was neutral because they were also bringing in new people in the victim witness positions because they had turnover there. This person was previously a victim witness person that became the investigator. So if you'd like the cost of the salary. Okay.
Now that you jogged my memory, I got it. That's good. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to bring up a sore subject, but if I remember reading correctly that your office is eligible for some of the drug forfeiture funds, is that in here anywhere?
Forfeiture funds from... What, sheriff's departments?
Yes.
Forfeiture? Those go to law enforcement. They don't come to the prosecution.
But you're not eligible for any of those funds?
No.
I thought I read that you were. I'll look back at that, okay.
No, drug forfeitures that you're primarily speaking to with the sheriff's department is done through the federal government and the law enforcement sheriff's department. Our office is not involved in those particular type of forfeitures.
You're not eligible for that?
Not those funds.
What funds?
The federally funded forfeiture dollars that are dealt with between the sheriffs, the law enforcement agency, and the federal government.
Those you're eligible for?
I'm sorry?
I said, which ones? You said you're not eligible for those funds.
Well, we could prosecute and seek forfeitures on our own, separate and distinct than the federal forfeitures. There's a different program that the state law does give us the opportunity to seek forfeitures.
And you
most
do that?
Of the forfeitures we would seek are dependent upon the law enforcement agency. Currently, because of the formula that the federal government shares with the law enforcement agency, most of those forfeitures are being done by the sheriff's department through the federal government, because there's a better split than it would be if our office handled them. So the law, when I was referring to forfeitures, yes, the Kenosha County District Attorney's Office could pursue forfeitures. Generally, if we were to do that, it would be on a vehicular forfeiture or some physical property. Wouldn't necessarily result in funds, but the Sheriff's Department in particular, or even other law enforcement agencies, would share with the federal government. So there's a bigger chunk of the pie that they would receive. That's why they go that direction as opposed to coming to our office.
Okay.
And if I could, yes, oh, I'm sorry. Yep. I kind of wanted to give you an update on our scanning project of our closed files.
Okay.
We have selected a vendor, so we're moving forward with that, and we are in the process of figuring out the logistics of them coming and taking our files to get them scanned. In an attempt to be more economical, we are going through our files, and those that have met the retention requirements, we are just outright destroying those files. So as of today, we've destroyed over 200 banker boxes worth of files. And that will continue to go on as we move through the project and review all of our files. And we're also looking to get a temp to come in and help us with documenting where the files are, when they get sent to the vendor, when they come back, and that kind of stuff, so we always know where our files are. So that's the update with our scanning project.
Thank you.
Excellent project.
Further discussion, Ron?
Go paperless.
Somebody writes a bad check, it bounces. Where do I go to make a complaint about the bad check, and what happens to that? And they go to your office and make a complaint, or is that
You would complain to the law enforcement agency initially.
Okay.
They would probably refer you to the agency that we're in contract with as our private vendor that's handling the management of that.
Okay.
If it's a person who has had a history of bad checks, it would be prosecuted like any other criminal case by the law enforcement agency.
So you can get away with one or two, but if you come in habitual, then they're going to get you, huh?
Yeah. Well, the concept was to be kind of be a first offender program. That was the thrust behind our deferred prosecution. But I can't guarantee you that there might not be a couple that sneak with a second or third.
Because I know a couple of people that have filed complaints and never heard anything again, and it wasn't a small amount, a $500 payroll check that bounced. And,
sure. The concept of the worthless check program is to get education and also to get upfront restitution. And so that's the primary goal of a first offender. And that's what our office investigator is doing now. He's screening those requests that are being referred to us to make sure that we're getting the right people into the program, and the hardcore bad check writers are coming to be prosecuted.
Okay, thank you.
Jeff? You guys are the lawyers and such. But when you brought up the project that you have going on in these files, I mean, you said you always know where they are. I mean, could somebody else get into these files at any point in their where they're going?
No. We've worked with the vendor to talk about security of our files to make sure that they are locked. Everyone that comes in contact with our files has a background check and that kind of thing. So we've thoroughly kind of worked with them about where our files are going to be.
Yeah, because if you get some goofy guy or person that wants to get into our files, I mean, that concerns me. So
we've been given assurances by IT that the vendor that we've selected or that's been selected has QC programs going on to make sure that there is a security and that they're adhering to that. So we were very concerned about the same issue that you're raising, is to protect our files and the confidentiality of those.
Because in the wrong hands, that can be a disaster.
Right, and we are planning before this really takes off, we're hoping to get to the vendor to see exactly how their program works and see their facility to make sure that we're good there.
Yeah, I just watch a lot of TV. That concerns me, so thank you.
The hard copy files, after they're scanned, are they going directly to the shredder? Or how are they coming back and then they're going?
It depends. Either we're going to have that company shred them for us, or they'll come back here and then we will have them shredded. So it kind of depends on the cost and what we can get a better deal there.
Is there further discussion on the budget?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
It passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on then to the circuit court, as the circuit court clerk is here with Judge Wagner, and turn the tables over to you. And that can be found at page 59.
Starting at 59. Oh, here comes another heavy hitter.
Yep. Good evening, everybody. My name is Rebecca Coscamenting, for those I haven't met yet. This is Judge Wagner, and she's here on behalf of Deputy Chief Judge Melisauskas and Judge Michael Wilk as well. This is Bethany Lofgren, the Court Services Financial Manager, and we're here to present our budget for this year. The only really significant change that we're having here is a little bit of difference in our revenue. A couple months ago, John Volker from the Deputy State Courts Director was here and gave a presentation to the board regarding the funding of the circuit courts. And there was a lapse in the governor's budget, which affects our numbers here. It's a significant portion of our revenues. Supreme Court was able to give us a specific dollar amount for our first half of 2015 payment. So we've modified that, and that's the county executive. That's the executive adjustment made to the revenue line item, was the difference between our projection when we submitted the budget and then the verification we received from the state at the time that the executive made his modifications. For the second half payment, we remained on the conservative side. We don't know what the governor's budget is going to entail, so we included the current lapse that was anticipated in this biennium into that payment. We'll know once the state budget is passed what that affects. That's our pretty much most significant issue on the revenue side. On our expenses side, the really only addition is a half-time position to our guardian ad litem contract. Currently, we have 6 guardian ad litems. Those are attorneys appointed by the court to represent some of our children and individuals at risk throughout the court system. Currently, we have 6 contracted attorneys. We charge certain litigants fees for those services at the rate of $70 per hour. In certain cases, those fees are waived, so the county picks up that portion. But we have active collection efforts on the cases where those fees continue in. That caseload is very burdensome right now. The guardian ad litems are overworked. With their contract amount to the number of hours that they put on cases, they're only making about $45 to $50 an hour. That's substantially less than if we were to individually appoint on a case-by-case basis rather than the contract. And through discussions with them and their workload, the judges supported the addition of a part-time position to relieve some of that caseload. Again, that's pretty much the highlights on the budget.
That hourly fee includes all their expenses on that case. It doesn't, we don't cover phone, paper, anything else. So in their office, that's all.
And mileage, more mileage for us in the county or anything like that.
Anything, Jeff, do you have a question?
You really hit everything that I had highlighted in here, and the most yellow in my whole book was this revenue, so you're right, with all the ups and downs and the guardian ad litem I was going to ask you about. Everything seems to be in order with this, and I commend you for that. I did get a lovely chance to serve on jury duty last week, so just wanted to thank you for making that smooth for me.
Thank you.
Aaron.
Is the revenue decrease, is that pretty much spread throughout? Is it not like one specific one item?
It's the...
Or is it? Maybe I'm just missing it.
Page 63.
Oh,
I got to call my
actual sister. The court support.
Huh? 64. He's looking at this stuff.
Okay, I see it.
It's the one with the $69,000 addition in the county executive portion.
Ron?
I see our total employees is 42 and a half, but I see an office associate was last year was 9.5, and this year it's 7.5. In many words, a flip-flop in there. What is the difference between an office associate and office clerical support?
The office clerical support were our positions at the lowest entry-level position within county government. Okay. They were previously office associate positions, but following Act 10, the new hires that we received were brought in at that entry-level position.
Okay. Just a
quick John.
On your interpreter's expense, showing that you might be over this year, you have within your budget, you have enough to cover because you're going to 98.8 here on the next budget?
Yes.
But you find it in your budget to cover that?
Yes. We have language added in that allows us to manipulate between certain areas to cover the expenses. One year we might be high on one area and low on another, and we're able to offset that rather than continuing to come back in front of you as long as that certain grouping meets the budget.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Further discussion?
I have a quick question. Yes. It says under your summary at the front, it says that you were going to be working on your file storages to allow everything to go paperless in there. Can you give us an update on how you did on that?
Sure. For many years, probably for the last good 10 years, 12 years even with my predecessor, the court system was attempting to go paperless. We're a very paper intensive culture, and that culture is slowly and now more quickly beyond that. Unlike other departments in Kenosha County, our scanning is very case specific. So if I have a case against John Smith and every piece of paper in his file, be it 5, be it 55, there's a court record event for each document, and that document actually has to be scanned onto that court record event. So it's not like I can just put his file into a scanner and zip it through and be done. You actually have to go document by document. We're in the process of that. We do have a temporary, two temporary employees through the personnel department assigned to the courts who are working towards that.
What she's talking about is the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
In the new ones, they're attempting to go paperless in the family court, and that's a different task than going back and connecting each of these documents to every court record event, because we're going to try to do simultaneous scanning when it's filed, so the event would be there.
Right. Right now, we do have two judges assigned in family court, Judge David Wilk and Judge Rossell. Judge Rossell is almost 100% paperless on his paper filings, but what that's mean is because some of the cases before him are old cases, so we've had to back scan all the old documents in, but in addition, we keep current with the new filings coming in so that he doesn't have to touch that paper file. And what that actually means for us is a savings to staff. It's a one touch. It's always there. Mm-hmm. We don't have to find a file to file the paper in, and we don't have to retrieve the file for court processes either. So
it's a lot easier to do simultaneous than this backup.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we picked out the family to start with. If any of you are ever interested in seeing a court that does do all of this paperless, I'd be glad to take you.
Remember when the basement used to be full of paper?
It still is.
And there's not a dent in it. I mean, it's not gone.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a difficult venture for the court system, and I'm glad that we have this small step in place. Eventually, electronic filing is going to be a legislative mandate. It's not there yet, but at that point is when we are going to have to address some of the older files, but we'll have a good base in place to get, we'll have the concept in place, we'll just need the bodies closer, which is why, you know, we continue to advocate for more staff. The state gives us our scanning equipment. Currently, we have 9 desktop scanners. They're not a high-volume scanner, but it helps us keep up with the day-to-day for those family court assignments. And we have 3 bulk scanners that pretty much run 8 hours a day. For those purposes too.
It's a huge project, but
I'm sure.
And going forward is better than, you know, right. Falling on the back. Going right. Forward is very important.
Okay. Thank you.
Those will be the old files.
Further discussion.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right, there's a motion to approve. Further discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed. It passes.
So
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes.
How are you?
Everyone but the sheriff.
Gentlemen, you're still
they
at
are
zero.
Oh, okay, fine.
Bye, Mary Kay.
I didn't.
Hi, nice
where?
To see you.
A
one. Thanks so much.
Awesome.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Great to see you, guys. Thanks. Thanks, Mr.
Goodbye.
Rose.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Rose.
We'll see you in court.
See you in court.
Good to see you.
I hope not.
The hanging, well, I don't want to, not as a customer.
Well, you were driving tonight, you might.
I had to beat you.
Yeah, no, you had to beat me, huh?
Well, you raced me out of the parking lot.
Goodbye, young man.
Yeah.
Keep up.
I see that racing move you put on me to pass me, yeah.
It was like it was going around a real curve there.
Wow.
Invariably, I'm sure somebody's going to turn left and get stuck in traffic. So I quick moved to the right, then I had to get back into the left.
I should have sped up and left you over in the right hand lane.
Yeah, like Brad Kozlowski. Clip you on the corner. Hey, he was speeding out and just said, hey, he was coming up on me so fast. I just
misjudged.
Sure,
yeah,
I'm sure.
They're out there. Hey,
oh, the judge. I know, I love her. She's awesome.
The district attorney is working with the sheriff.
I hope I have that much energy when I'm hurrying.
In trouble with his budget, he just calls the sheriff and says, I need you guys to get out there and get more tickets.
I'm too exhausted.
I wonder what took so long.
I like that.
Hey, Michael, the sheriff's a few minutes away, but I thought we could start with
you. Yeah, well, let's begin.
What took so long?
Hi, Nan.
All right, we will continue here.
I think I know.
Not get exhausted.
What took so long?
All right, let's bring the meeting to order again. This is our concluding
took long enough.
Budget. We moved through the budgets more quickly, Nancy and Captain Halsey.
Just slightly.
There you are.
Then we anticipated, so we're about a half hour ahead of time.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the sheriff will be here in moments.
All right.
So he's right on the block. So.
Wait.
Can I really sent out the K-Dog looking for him.
Did you want to wait or do you want to proceed?
Oh, we can wait.
Well, start with the nuts and bolts of it.
I could use
Nancy runs the financial part.
Is that true, Nancy?
Of course it is.
She runs the whole financial part, so she knows, she knows more about it. Sure, probably.
Budget.
35.
Hang on, CP.
All right.
Show up.
We'll begin our meeting again with the sheriff, and we're way ahead of a schedule. And
I heard
you.
Congratulations.
So next time we'll put you at the top of the agenda.
I don't know.
Be ready.
All right, good.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, are you ready?
Yes, go ahead. We're on page 35 for the committee.
Okay. I'm going to give you the highlights for the 2015 budget for the Sheriff's Department. Including the budget are the elimination of 1 admission release clerk and the addition of an admission release supervisory position. So we're basically just swapping out 1 FTE for another. We've got 21 admission release specialists, booking clerks, and we've got 1 supervisor. And it's been a struggle. So basically what we're doing is giving up 1 position, creating a supervisory position. In 2014, we refunded 2 DSOs. We're maintaining those 2 positions, and we're taking we're increasing a relief cook from
half-time to 24 hours rather than 20 hours. And we're doing, and a full-time cook is reduced, oh, and one full-time cook is reduced to a 0.6 FTE as well. We're doing this by increasing our federal inmates to 199 per day. Two other things we're trying to accomplish in this budget is range adjustments for a corporal and a corporal sergeant, or a correction sergeant, that were a little low in the range that we were in. There are still 10 correctional guard positions that are not funded in 2015 budget. Let's see. Our contractual services. This is one of our biggest parts for our increase. The medical and dental. We have an increase, a proposed increase of $223,000. This is primarily due to an increase in the mental health services for jail. In 2014, we had 35 hours, and in 2015, we're going to 80 hours of mental health, a psychologist on duty in our facilities. This is something the state tremendously wants us to do, the federal government wants us to do, and Corporation Council wholeheartedly supports this as well. Mm-hmm. Other professional services we've increased by $36,850. The majority of this is a $35,000 increase in something called LexiPool. LexiPool is a service that's nationwide, focuses on individual states, but it's a company that updates your policies and keeps you current in everything that pertains to a statewide or a federal-wide issue. One of the things that we got hurt on last year was our mail policy. Our mail policy was outdated, and we ended up getting sued, and it cost us some money. It would have got us up to speed. So Sheriff's Department has plenty of policies. This will help us maintain and keep our policies current. Let's see. Jail alternatives. Oh, we're adding $288,000 into contractual services, and this is to better do the paper trail for electronic monitoring better. It's going to be a wash. The money that comes in for people using electronic monitoring will be paying the $288,000 toward that part of the budget for contractual services. So that is if we, what Nancy did is that $288,000 represents 80 clients. Currently we're about 40 clients. We drift up and down above 40. I think we're just a little bit below 40 right now today. Hmm.
And what will the service do again?
It's the rental. It's the rental of our electronic monitoring of the bracelets. Mm-hmm. So Nancy has it. She's just basically putting it the contractual service as the company that we lease it from, so we can track it better. So the 288 is it goes out as a contractual service. We also get the rental in from electronic monitoring.
They monitor them pretty good too, don't they?
Monitor them very good.
Yeah.
You're looking, you move too much, Supervisor. We'd like to put it on you and just give an example.
I happen to know of a case where when they blow into the thing, they got a picture of them.
Oh, yes, they do. They do. That's the second, and I'll touch on this very quickly. I think I did show this group, but some people have an electronic monitor, a bracelet on their ankle, and they also have like a little portable PBT. You blow into it, it takes their picture, and that picture is matched against the one that is programmed into the computer. And if it comes up where it's very accurate. If it doesn't match, it goes to the supervisor. The supervisor looks at it and says, that's two different people, and then they do it.
And every once in a while you call them up and they have to come down and get a blood test, right?
Yes, we do that too. The bracelet actually does talk to people if we want it to.
I think it's a good program, saving you money too.
Yes,
because,
it is.
You know, 'cause they have to pay, and they have to have the ability to pay in order to get on the program, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it's
a win-win for the county, and it's a win for you as far as space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there is one downfall, and this group may hear about it. One of the programs that Human Resources does is they have the seniors and the disabled. They have the work crew come and shovel their driveways and sidewalks. Unfortunately, the judges have not been putting in the quality of inmate that we're looking for to do some of this, and electronic monitoring is also relieving the jail of some of these people too. So we're actually hurting a little bit in the work crew as far as putting people out. Okay, so you may hear about that, but...
Is the work crew smaller?
Work crew is smaller. There are less people on work crew.
How many are there?
Well, at one point we were about 85, 90, and we're probably about 60 right now. Is that number right?
Oh, there are that many.
They still
I have
are.
Comments.
They work in our jail. They work around the building. Pleasant Prairie picks them up. They do out for different type of events. The fair, I think, I don't know if they did this year, but at the fair they usually would pick up a crew and bring them out. But so that is something. We've already kind of heard the complaints and going, we just don't have the personnel to do it. Okay. You know, there's a, for furniture and fixtures and machinery, we're talking about a $34,000 increase to replace some equipment and some chairs and some cameras. Nothing really out of the ordinary. Staff development, we're looking to increase about $15,000, and that's because of increased costs at Gateway and some of the training and facilities and some of the specialty trainings. Our overall budget that we've looked to increase is $462,000. It's primarily because of electronic monitoring and the mental health. Thank you. The revenues, we have upped it from, let's see, we've increased the revenues $233,000, and $141,000 of that is going from the 195.4 inmates per day to 199. The electronic monitoring, of course, these numbers have gone up. We have reduced the county ordinance fines, that it does play a factor in clerk of courts and also DA's office, as their revenues have gone down a little bit. We have a juggling act and kind of paving the way for the future, something that this county has been doing, and all of you have seen it and been part of it, really, is how fast it's growing. And our calls for service are increasing. We've added courts. We've added transportation back and forth to Chicago and Milwaukee. And depending on exactly what happens with Silver Lake in a couple weeks, this could play a role into it. If we add another court in the near future, we'll have to add deputy sheriffs. And one thing that we've been doing over last year is we've been getting away with really not having enough supervisors on the road. So, and again, I'm not asking for this today. This is not in this year's budget. But down the road, we will have to start increasing or asking to increase our patrol deputy sheriffs and also supervisors, kind of transition in that, some kind of paving the road.
If Silver Lake boat blows up, then you've got to cover them, because their police department now takes care of theirs, right?
Yeah, we don't have a choice. We have to cover them. We will.
Yeah,
we already take some of their calls, but
I
you're
agree,
exactly
I agree,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
A question on the you know, the revenue we make is from federal inmates. Of course, that's a good thing, but the increase of our exposure to the Ebola, like we had a scare a couple of weeks ago, is what's your thoughts on that? Is it worth taking the extra inmates if it means we're going to have to take some of those people?
Supervisor Dodge, I have to say I have some of the same fears and thoughts, and if you'd like me to cover that issue right now, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, is it lengthy?
It can be as long as you want.
I was just asking your thoughts, summary.
To give you a real quick what happened with that is this whole group knows that we are a warehouse for federal inmates and detainees.
Mm-hmm.
The person that was picked up was picked up at O'Hare. She is from Liberia. She was not from a part of the country that had exposure to Ebola. She was not sick. She was pregnant. She was brought here like she would have been or anyone else would have been, and that is not out of the ordinary. That was not... It was not the federal government's, they screened, and to tell you the truth, I'm not exactly sure what screening detail, or what the details of screening is at O'Hare. I think they just stepped it up in the last few weeks, and I think this is part of it. The, she came in, her visa was expired. She was dropped off here at 1 o'clock in the morning. I think our correctional staff, and I don't have an issue with it because the whole world is afraid of this Ebola. Mm-hmm. And they heard where she was from later after she had arrived here. It didn't click right away. And actually, when at first they said where she was from, it didn't click for me right away. But I believe one of our correctional staff probably called Channel 6, got Channel 6 involved here about 10:30. We got the first phone call from them. And then it started going to the other media outlets. We isolated her as soon as we realized and truly determined she's from Liberia. We don't really know what kind of screening they did. We learned more about Ebola that day than we called all over the country. Some of the disheartening part for us was we tried getting a hold of ICE first thing in the morning after 8 o'clock. ICE really didn't know too much about it. They wanted the media to talk to their ICE's PIO, and I talked to the PIO for ICE, and I said, what are you going to say? And she goes, I don't know. And I said, well, that's not a good answer. What are you going to do with this? And she said, I'll have to let you know. And we'd already been contacted by all the Milwaukee TV stations at this point. We were still doing the research. About an hour later, I got a phone call from another PIO, a public information officer, if I didn't say that, from U.S. Border and Customs. And she said she is going to be the contact for the media. I said, what are you going to say? She said, I don't know. And the buck was passed between ICE and the U.S. Border and Customs. And they didn't know who was actually going to be handling this. And ICE sent an email to, I think it was Captain Halsey or the chief, and said, don't let the sheriff talk to the media. And I said, yeah, right. Because, and most of us know this, if we don't answer the questions, stories get made up. And even with us saying the girl is healthy, she came here from Liberia, we have no issues, she's quarantined, the headline still read, Ebola, whatever it was. You know, it came out, and everybody, I had people for 7 days after this woman arrived that would not shake my hand or come near me and stay in the same room. There may have been other issues with that, too. I don't know.
Wife, but...
I know. Maybe a hygiene thing. I'm not sure. But this was a huge issue for us to deal with. And we, Chief Deputy and I especially, have had a lot of conversations. Is it worth the headache? And this isn't the first time we've had this issue. The chief and I have talked about this before, but this is not, I heard Lenny was beating us up and doing this and talking about this. But I think this group understands this is not let's just tell them we're not going to take them anymore. Because if that truly happened, if we just said we're done with this, it affects the sheriff's department greatly, but it not only affects us, it also affects the highway department, human resources, and every other aspect of the county. Because of this, and I truly don't know what we're generating this year, $5-6 million. If $5-6 million, all this money that we've generated for years, it's helped the sheriff's department, but it's also allowed other parts of the county to get the resources they need. So if we lost $5 million, it would hurt the county as a whole, and without a doubt, it would hurt the sheriff's department. So I don't exactly have that answer for you. Is it worth keeping them? This is truly from the hip. The 40 to 70 people that would get laid off, they would tell you, yes, it is worth keeping them. Is it worth our administrative staff and the headaches they go through and the hoops they jump through? It's a difficult one to answer. So.
She's not there anymore, though.
She left 36 hours after she arrived.
So we don't know where we're going to go with that?
We checked her continuously for the 36 hours. Absolutely.
Now everybody's past the 21 days, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if we for sure are, but we're all, I think that was only about 14 days ago. So we still got another week as far as you go with that. But we're monitoring all the people that were in contact with her. So I don't have a good answer for you.
That's fine.
All right, further discussion.
That was a good answer.
Jeff?
Well, I know what you think of us now because you came in within the 21 days.
I really?
Nice. Wait, and you hugged me.
Check his temperature.
I would like to make a suggestion that you, when did we start the electronic monitoring? Do you remember?
The beginning of this year. I think it was January.
Just the beginning of this year? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'd like to, as it progresses, get an update brought to finance on how it's going and what you think the savings might be. But if it's that quick, then I don't need it yet.
It's going very well. We have very few violations. Walworth has more people on it. They've got about another 25 people on it. But I think, and I've told this before, and I go back to they have a different population in Walworth County than we have in Kenosha County. We have a lot of our people are indigent that get thrown and put into our jail. And in Walworth County, there are more people that work out there. Their jail is smaller, and they have a more of a working class, I guess, that get put into their jail for a period of time.
But they don't have to work in order to get on it, as long as they can pay for it.
Correct.
So they don't have to have a job if somebody's willing to pay for it.
And that has happened, yes.
And that's probably happening more out there.
That could very well be.
Yeah. All right. And next, I'd like to give me an update on the fleet, where we are. We rotate a third of the fleet every year. Is that?
That's approximately true.
Okay. And we're on schedule with that, and there's no issues with that. And nope. I saw the number in here, so that's standard rotation of the fleet.
Yep. Okay. We did get, rather than getting Tauruses this year, we got Explorers. We found the Tauruses work well, but the Explorers, we have a few deputies that are a little bit more robust. And the Explorers have a little bit more room. And the other big issue, though, is the passenger seat. When we have new deputy sheriffs, we have them riding with somebody else. The passenger seat of the Taurus is small, and when you put a computer there, there is no room. The Explorers have more room. So, did you guys ride one of the Taurus? All right. So there's a lot of room there. So even our more thin gentlemen that rode in the cars probably didn't have a lot of room there. The Explorers give us more room.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Just so you know, the DA blamed you for a lack of revenue, and then you come in and throw the judges under the bus. This is pretty interesting. They're not bringing the clientele to you, so I'm really, this is going round and round.
They need to pick it up a little bit for us.
Nobody's got money to pay the fines, so they end up in jail.
The last thing I want to talk about on my dime here is the overtime. And I know that's always an issue to talk about. But what I'd like an explanation on why we're projected to finish the year at $2.5 million in overtime and we're budgeting 1.3.
Well, this is nothing new in reality because Nancy uses personnel costs and we go back and we dip into the federal surplus money that we do have and we cover those expenses. We have been, and we've done this year, We haven't done this before, but we are actually over hiring, and we are doing very, very well with that, over hiring up to 10 correctional officers, and then we'd use those extra 10 and we'd put them as we lost some people. We've had a lot of people on probation that have not made probation, and that is not helping us one bit. We just started a program, and we got three people on, and I think December 1st we plan on actually putting them into the schedule. But we have I don't know what the proper terminology I was told to call them, casual, part-time.
It's part-time.
The correctional officers that retired from us, There's three of them that are willing to come back on a part-time basis and fill open slots in our facilities. So what we're going to do is pay them at the top rates that they left at. It's about, I don't know, 21, 22 bucks an hour, but they get no benefits with it. So it's a win-win for us. It gives them a part-time job. They're willing to do it. And as we build this reservoir of people, it'll help us in the future, especially during times when our staff dips down. There is money in finance, and I was advised today that the money exists for a study. We are very nervous about what's going to happen in 2015, 16, and down the road as Amazon opens their doors. On the way in here tonight, the lights are shining inside those buildings, and they're already starting to employ people. Uline's going to be building. Kenall, of course, is going to be hiring people. Costco. So all these places are coming in, and they're going to be, I have no doubt, sucking our resources. We've got to be attractive to the people who are working out there, and I'm not 100% sure that we are. We have our rate of pay isn't bad, but what you have to remember is can someone go to Costco and work for a similar wage with no stress, with no one throwing feces or urinating on you, or you having to clean up anything, or watch a group of people going to the bathroom or showering or doing things that they shouldn't be doing in front of the people. A year ago or 2 years ago, we also took away some of the retirement parts of some of our correctional staff. We had supervisors and people on our correctional staff that had up to 10 years of service, and they were good employees and they were probably going to stay, but they left because they had no future to work toward retirement. We're working on a study after the budget process and as we get closer to the end of the year to try to put together a study for all of us to use to what we need to do to make ourselves a competitive job that people in our community and around our area would want to come and work at. As of this second, I'm not so sure we are inside our jail. I have a fear that this time next year, I will be, if we don't do something, we're going to be at a critical state. I have that fear. I don't know that that's going to be true, but I have that fear. So we're trying to overhire again. We're bringing them on as fast as we can, but we still have one person that quit last week that said, this is too stressful for me. And his father was a correctional officer here, so he kind of had an idea of what this place was like. We had former sheriff of Racine, his son was a correctional officer here, and he said, and obviously his father told him what it was like. It was too much. He's going to go back to school to get a better job. I don't know. I know a lot of kids, when I go to the schools, I ask them, who wants to be a police officer? Several raise their hand. Who wants to be a fireman? People raise their hand. Who wants to be a businessman or an attorney? No one says attorney. I apologize. I didn't take it. I'm sorry.
We like all the way to the bank.
It's funny you bring that up. We're in a position that with the county, at all levels, that we haven't done anything for our employees for 3 or 4 years, and they're going to start getting more, because Amazon's going to start hiring big. What I understand, they're going to hire those part-time people, and those part-time people are going to be viewed for full-time positions they're creating, but that's only seasonal. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be hiring and paying 14, 15, 16 bucks an hour, and we got some highway workers that are leaving the county because they can make more in the private sector driving trucks.
Okay, well, I had the floor, and this is going the question was. That's okay.
I didn't know you had the floor.
It's okay, but we went from overtime to your need for employees.
Did he have the floor?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you did.
Yeah,
he
did.
Was answering.
Okay, so
I'm calling you next.
So I, you know what? That whole dissertation. Maybe you do need to come to us with a plan and what's going on with that. I could see what you're saying. I don't mind looking at that, and also even bringing on a couple more deputies. you know, as opposed to paying all this overtime. I know that, you know, over the last couple of years, we've tried the, you know, supervisors responding to calls and being paid. That was one of the things we tried. We tried the hiring of the 10 people to try to influx that. So, I mean, we have been working to get the overtime, and I look back at the 2013 actual as being 2.399, and the projected is 2.58. So I don't think, you know, we're getting where we need to be with that. So
yeah, here's, and I'm glad you said that, because I do have this sheet and some statistics here. In 2014, from January 1st to last week, here are some of the things, some of the unknowns that we don't see. I bring up how we're short people, but here's where a lot of this comes to, and if you actually add up all these numbers, it boils down to about $2 million. In sworn personnel and in service, and these are hours of this is for training now, our sworn in service is, we have 9,700, almost 9,800 hours of training for just deputy sheriffs and supervisors, field training officers, training new deputy sheriffs. So I have 4,400 of field training hours. So that is 4,400 hours that I've got new deputy sheriffs that are not, I don't want to say they're not useful, but they're basically a shadow to a training officer. In corrections, in service, 7,300 hours of in-service for corrections. Field training for at the detention center, 5,000 hours of overtime, of hours for field training. So we're training people in detentions at KCDC. Field training for correctional officers downtown, 3,000 hours of training hours that we're teaching new correctional staff. For admission release specialists, the booking clerks, 2,300 hours. Training total for our department from January 1st to last week is 32,000 hours that we're paying people and backfilling to accommodate these things. Now, you go into something that we really can't control. Accident and sickness, 14,000 hours of accident and sickness for our department. Military leave, no one gets paid, but we got to fill it with overtime, 1,900 hours. Family leave, no one gets paid, but I got to backfill it with overtime, 1,890 hours. Workers' comp, 688 hours. Funeral leave, 664 hours. Jury duty, 16. Leave that we have got to backfill with overtime, because we're short people in corrections already, is 19,000 hours. That's the, like the ANS, the military, the family leave. That just gets thrown on us, and we can't do it. And it creates that spiral of overtime, and that's where we try to get that 10 extra people on there. But even as we keep putting them on, and that's one thing I think we have to get this study done to say, how can we be, and one thing I was going toward is, you know, people want to be the police officer, the fireman. No one, and I'm sure all of you recognize this, no one has ever said, when I grow up, I want to be a jailer. I want to be a correctional officer. They don't say it. It's kind of a spot people take.
Transitionally, I get it.
Transitionally, or they looked at it before because it was a government job. It had a retirement package built in. It doesn't have it anymore. So it isn't a bright spot anymore for us to look at. So it's harder for us to maintain the people. We're still, and I just ended up walking over here, I told the chief, I said, we got to get these people hired because I am afraid of what's going to happen as we roll into Christmas time.
Yeah, and this is the first time in 6 years I've heard the breakdown of the training hours. So that's interesting. Is there any, do you have a plan to combat that? I mean, where are we at with this?
Training hours, that's something that we are mandated to do.
No, I understand that, but how do we look at the whole picture? And I can't. I get the training hours, and I'm not trying to be confrontational. No, I just want to look at and analyze this number and try to see if there's a way where we can get, you know, continue to. I mean, I really thought that we would make some hay with the 10 new people and the supervisors doing this. I thought we would put a little bit of a dent in it. I understand overtime's not going to go away, but is there some type of plan that allows us to maybe bring this down a little bit? I mean, what do we got going?
Now, you remember the supervisors coming in and working and getting paid. We couldn't continue that program because that was a Bob? Yeah, that was an emergency kind of situation, Claire, but if we did it continuously, FSLA?
FLSA.
We couldn't continue to do that, even though people, supervisors would do it. We are not staffed at the level we should be. We just aren't. And if we got the 10 correctional officers funded back again, we would bring them on. We'd still have a lag time. It would help. We just don't have the people we need to have. And it throws us into that cycle. And part of that cycle is when people get burnt out, they go on ANS, and some people abuse ANS, and some people abuse workers' comp, and some people abuse FMLA because they're getting too much. How do I combat this? Truly, I get the 10 correctional officers that I haven't got funded this year. I get them that funded, and I put those people on as quick as I can. And 4 months
from
now,
perhaps Dave could address some of that.
What would it cost to get 10 new correctional officers?
Probably about
at least a half million or more.
I was going to say 650,000 probably.
Okay. And you say that would how much would that cut into this overtime though?
Initially, none. It would actually increase it because of the training hours.
You're doubling up.
We have the FTO. An FTO gets paid time and a half to do training. So it would actually increase for the initial 4 or 5 months until they're on their own, it wouldn't help at all. But what you have to look is long-term. Long-term, as soon as this group of 10 people get on, then everything else starts coming down. And it's one of those things, until you do it, I can't tell you how much it's going to cut into it. I can tell you, if you put those 10 people there, theoretically, it reduces 20,000 hours. But that doesn't mean they won't get hurt, they won't quit, they won't. So you have to, it's a process to move people in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the sheriff has mentioned a study. We have money in the finance division budget for a study, and it's going to be comprehensive to look at staffing levels, overtime, attraction of the job, benefits, attraction of employees. It's going to look at all those things, and I think until we have somebody independently look at that, give us a roadmap going forward, so when the sheriff says he's understaffed, so we have this roadmap and how we're going to get them staffed to that level over a period of time or whatever the study may call for, or to reduce the overtime and how we can implement that and get it in place. But until we do a comprehensive study that the sheriff has mentioned a couple times, we don't have the answers to all those questions.
So we have that study in play in this budget?
In this budget,
okay.
Correct.
All right. What is the amount?
$100,000.
Okay.
And I think it is, we are... You and finance have given us the opportunity to overhire, and we are doing that. Mm-hmm. So that is helping us, and that's helping us. We would be in worse shape right now if we were not given that opportunity.
Dave, you want to say something on this overtime again?
The sheriff made some excellent points about overtime, and so did Al about the study. Just to recollect some of the discussion we've had in the past and some of the analysis we provided to the committee, our overtime is well managed financially, so it doesn't cause us to go over budget. That's one thing that is good to remember, because that is a problem that other law enforcement agencies have, and that's one thing you hear about from time to time. But the sheriff's budget is slated to balance, and the personnel budget will balance. And what they'll do is, the way we budget is sound, it's flexible budgeting, and we have surpluses from staffing budgeting for roughly 100% of staffing, and then moving the surpluses to cover the overtime when we don't have the 100% staffing level. So that's one point. Another point is we've looked at a rough benchmark of 10% of personnel costs as being an acceptable level by law enforcement agencies for overtime, and that's a general rule of thumb that we've seen. The time that we really drilled into this a couple of years ago was the time the sheriff mentioned that we had a spike, and a part of it had related to what he was talking about, where we had a pretty big turnover. I think that's come down a bit because of a lot of the measures that were put into place, plus the overtime crisis that we had a couple of years ago because of some of the changes that happened have now worked their way through the system. Now, and then Al mentioned the study. We want to revisit that 10% and look at that and work closely with the sheriff will be guiding the ship on the thing, working with personnel on it. We really want to look at that and determine what is a sound benchmark and reconfirm that, that 10% level.
Yeah, I'm not pointing my finger or anything like that. I just think that we're all a team here, and we want to work together with you, and we need to be brought those ideas, and I think a comprehensive study is an excellent idea. That's money well spent if we can figure out a roadmap of what we need to do. I mean, be it hire new people. You said $500,000. Well, if that could save us $1.5 million in overtime, not all of it, because I'm sure there'll always be overtime. But I think that's a good place to start. So I know that you've been battling this and banging your head against it for a while, and I can appreciate that. So I look forward to this study and moving forward as a team to try to get this a little more under control. So thank you.
You're welcome. And just so you know, we are not the only agency in the state that has the issue in the corrections part. This goes on in every single county everywhere.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
All right, further discussion. Aaron.
One question first. The Huber electronic monitoring, the 288, should that be, it's a wash basically, right? I think you may have addressed it before, but should we be a net gain from what we're renting it, from what the fees? I mean, or no, I think it's just, are other counties in a wash as well? Or
right now our fees for electronic monitoring are $16 and some odd cents. We have to charge tax on that. I think that's nuts, but that's a state law. You have to charge tax on that. We do, the rental of the bracelet, if I remember right, is about $4.50. The handheld is about $3. Is that right?
It's $7 for the highest level of monitoring.
Okay.
In the breath test is about $6.50.
Okay.
Higher level.
So we are generating more money. What the extra money is doing, it's paying for the staffing levels of the supervisors doing it and any help that he has. So we're covering the cost of that. We are generating, it is a plus from them being out, but there are things we can't really touch. You know, we don't have to feed them. We don't have to have a correctional officer checking them in and out of Huber all the time. We don't have to, go through clothing. So there are things that we really can't put an exact dollar amount, but we are, it is to the plus to do it.
One other, I think the sheriff done a great job as managing overall the last couple of years that I've been on this committee. My main concern with the budget, and I think I shared this with you, the past couple of days I've asked a bunch of questions, is I think we've seen the sheriff's budget come in with a surplus the last couple of years. I think they're going to be a surplus this year. They're coming in with about a $200,000 levy increase, probably the largest one we've looked at tonight. I think we're undercalling the revenue, specifically the ICE. I know we don't want to depend on it long term, but I think we could realistically bump this up. I'd like to make a bump up the number from 199 to 205. I think if you look at the average where we're at through this year, we're at like 230. I know we've been down because of the Ebola, but I think we're undercalling the surplus in the sheriff's budget, and I think we should look for smart ways to try to reduce the levy if we can. I think this is a good way to do it in this budget. So I'd like to make that motion to, I think it would be an increase of roughly $150,000 in revenue for that ICE line. That would be my motion.
All right, the proposal is to increase the projected number of inmates from 199 to 205 average per day. Is there a second?
I'll second it for discussion purposes.
Is there a discussion? Do you want to say anything?
I've talked to Sheriff. I know probably concerned that he's not necessarily on board with this. I think it's still conservative. If you look at the numbers, we're at 231 through this year. I know this month we're down, but the last few years I've seen us come in a surplus, and I think let's bump it up a little bit. This is one area we can make an adjustment, hopefully save the levy. Until we see a deficit, maybe we're undercalling this. That's just my thoughts. I don't think it's a huge adjustment. Six six people, I think we're going to be well over 200 this year and next as well.
Further discussion, John?
Did you hear from the sheriff about this?
Well, I was going to do that. Do you have something? Committee, anyone else?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. I think you leave it alone. The concern I have is on the subject of prisoners is what's the attitude of the feds? I mean, they're constantly threatening to do us do away with it because they're saying that we're not following all their regulations. Am I right?
We're always under that, and actually currently our number is at 190 since this Ebola thing, and I don't know if they're punishing us or it's just the economy or what it is, but currently the last few days we've been at 190 and we are below our minimum right now. Don't know where that's going to take us at the end of the year. It's always a roller coaster. I'm not telling this group anything new.
What about this regulation that we're not doing what they say, but they keep overlooking it year after year after year? I mean,
they want us to go. We're currently at the 2003 or 2000. They want us to go to the 2011 standards, and that is the country club standards.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go through that again.
But that is we don't know that they're going to decide at some point in time they can get it someplace else and we're gone.
Yeah, that's true. One of the things now, even at 231 average per year this year, we're only looking at coming in. And we are not sure yet because we're only in October. We just still have a few months to go. But Nancy figured out if we were averaging the 220 per day, we would be in an area of about $100,000 to $220,000 to $200,000 to the good. So even though we're at 231 average, the overtime and what Supervisor Gentz brings up is that overtime, which we sucked $690,000 I think dollars out of it last a month or so ago. I mean, we use it up, and if you keep increasing those numbers here, we use that. I hate to call it surplus. We use that money that we generate over. We use it. We use it to cover the overtime, to cover expenses. Mm-hmm. I have this fear that, and I understand we've done this. This is what we did really for the last decade. Is we keep bumping that number up, and at one point we were 300 federal inmates. We're at less than 2/3 of that now. So I don't know where it's going to go. And if you bump that number up, it gives us less opportunity to use the extra revenue to cover overtime expenses. I understand exactly what you're trying to accomplish, and I agree. That's all of our goal is to try to come up with the appropriate number, and it's a balancing act. And we actually bumped it up 3.6 this year, and that may be our goal was to reduce it down. Bumping it up more, and I understand. I understand what we'd like to do, but I would like to don't go any higher than what we projected.
I would suggest, as we still have the floor, that we do not do this, that we leave it the way it is.
Any further discussion? Kim?
Yeah, I have to agree with Supervisor Frederick. We had several years ago talked about reducing that number so that we are not so dependent on it. I think that it's a bad idea to increase the number.
Jeff?
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. I agree 100%. I mean, it's disconcerting to me that we have to go up at all. And then I have to hear that we're really at 190. So that's a problem for me, too. I mean, what happens if it doesn't go back up? You know, we start averaging the 195 to 200 because it stays down at the 190. And we all have to remember, we have no contract with anybody. We're not, you know, there's no guarantees. So, I mean, when we start to bump this up and rely on it, and I for one am not ever going to suggest we get rid of this. I mean that's just talking nuts. I mean, as long as we can use this, we need to use it. Mm-hmm. But to bump it up and use it to cover, I know it's only a few, and we've done it in the past, and I've had this battle in the past. I just, it's not proper budgeting in my mind, so I won't be supporting that.
All right. Any further discussion on the amendment only? further discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll just take a roll call, starting with Aaron.
Yes.
Rick?
No.
John?
No.
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 All right, it's defeated. Further discussion on the budget as a whole?
Move to be approved.
Second.
Is there a second? Is there further discussion here?
Oh, no. We can discuss on the motion.
No? Okay. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you, and again, I announced this earlier, we'll do a final approval at the Tuesday meeting. This is merely tentative.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, and that concludes the budget hearings this evening and our agenda, and I would entertain a motion.
Second.
Until 7 o'clock tomorrow.
Second.